Well, just have a wee word of prayer together, please. Father, we thank you tonight for the cross of Christ. We remember the words of the apostle, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." We ask, Father, that some in this meeting tonight will get to the cross by faith and receive thy so great salvation. We praise thee for help in the meeting already. We've known the Lord to be here. We've been conscious of your blessing, your speaking voice, your hand upon the meeting. We pray, Father, for a greater experience of your presence come amongst us. May we know of a truth the Lord himself is here in our midst. Remember, Father, these words that we've read. You're the God in whose hand our very breath is. 'Tis thou preservest me from death and danger every hour, and I couldn't even draw another breath unless you gave the power. I want to pray you'll solemnize our hearts tonight. Bring upon this meeting the fear of God. May we be here in awe and in reverence of thyself. And Lord, our cry is that you'll come tonight amongst us in blessing, especially in salvation blessing. We pray there will be that rejoicing, even among the angels, of a sinner that repents and seeks the Saviour. Come upon us then, Lord, even as we have sung together already in this meeting. We pray for the touch of God upon the gathering. We pray that the preacher might be able to say tonight, "He touched me." But we pray, Father, especially for the lost in this meeting, that they'll know that saving, that life-transforming touch of Christ upon them this very night. So answer these our prayers, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel 5, and the words of verse 30 are our text tonight. Daniel 5 and the 30th verse. It says, "In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain." And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. I want to speak to you for a little while upon the subject of a night to remember. And it certainly was in the life of Belshazzar. And I pray that this might be a night to remember here in Lisburn Free Church. I long to be remembered, and I pray that it might be a night for you to remember, especially for the fact that it was the night that you come to know Christ as your Saviour. I'd like you to think with me at the outset about death, the solemn subject of death. The reality is, men and women, we're all going to die. And I want you to think especially of the time, of the day, that you will die, that you will pass from this scene of time. Mr. Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, died in Mentone in southern France the 31st of January 1892. One of those that was present at his deathbed was his faithful secretary, Mr. J.W. Harold. He immediately sent a telegram back to the Metropolitan Tabernacle Church in London to the office bearers of the congregation. And that telegram simply bore this message: "Our beloved pastor entered heaven at 11:05 Sunday night." He marked the very time of the pastor's death. It's relevant to us tonight. It was a Sunday night that Mr. Spurgeon passed from this scene of time. You think of that, 11:05. That's often a detail recorded on a death certificate. The time of the demise, the time of the death of the person. Two deaths in our family many years ago. My dad died early in the afternoon, almost 1 o'clock, 12:45. My younger brother, I mentioned to you this morning, he died at approximately 1 o'clock in the morning. The time of death. You may ponder, as you sit in the meeting tonight, the death of loved ones, those that have been taken from you, and the time that they went from this scene of time, went from this world to the next, that's something that you will never forget. I want you to consider that with me for a little while tonight in the gospel. The time of death. You think of that for yourself. What time will you die at? I wonder, did you ever think of that? As far as our Savior was concerned, isn't that a great example? The Savior died at the ninth hour. That is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Do you remember what the Bible says of the Apostle Paul, or what he said as he was drawing near the end of his life? The time of my departure is at hand. He didn't say the year. He didn't say the week. He didn't say the day. He was much more specific than that. He mentioned and spoke of the very time of his departure being at hand. Think of Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. Time to be born, and there's a time to die. And I want you to think of that tonight, a time for death. And the question is, when will it be? What part of the day? Morning? Afternoon? Evening? Night? As far as Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, was concerned, he died at night. The text is very clear about that. On that night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. It's a reminder to us that all men die. On that night, Belshazzar, the king, death is described as the king of terrors. And this night, death even came for the king himself. All will die. There's not a doubt about it. And here's a man that died suddenly. He died without warning that very night. He didn't expect to die. He didn't expect to die that night. He was still young. He was in the best of health, believed to be, as far as historical records are concerned, some 35 years of age. A young man, enjoying life to the full. And yet that very night, he was taken from this scene of time. And remember, men and women, the same thing could happen to you. You don't know the day. You don't know the hour of your death. One night changed everything for Belshazzar. Everything. Even as far as eternity, not just in time. But one night changed everything in time and eternity for this man. And one visit to the doctor, men and women, just one visit, could change your world forever. I want you to notice especially, if you think of Belshazzar, the night that he died, we're told, it was a very specific night. It was a night that stands out. Now remember that there were many things that stood out in Babylon. Babylon and the Hanging Gardens was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. There were many things, many nights that would have stood out in the history of this city, in the history of this kingdom. But here's one night that stands out, so much so that God has recorded the details of it for us in his word. There's an emphasis here on that night Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. It was a very specific night. And I want us to think about that. The chapter tells us all about the night that he died. What made it so unique? What set it apart? What made it such a night to remember? You know, it's an interesting thing. Daniel chapter 5. It's a lengthy chapter. 31 verses. And it gives you the details of just one night in the history of Babylon. If you think of Daniel chapter 2, by contrast, remember the chapter that contains the great dream and the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream? Well, that chapter covers in the prophetic scriptures a period of maybe 3 millenniums. Half the world's history, or almost. So there's a great contrast. This chapter before us covers just one night. A night that stands out, men and women. It's a night to remember. And I pray God will write the message of this text and this chapter even upon your heart tonight. I want us to think about some of the things that made this night stand out, made it such a night to remember. I want you to notice, first of all, that as far as Belshazzar was concerned, it was a night of revelry. You think of verse 1 of the chapter. It says, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. One thing you're told at the very beginning of the chapter about this man is that he was a drinker. He was a man that gave much time to the drinking of alcohol. There's 6 references at least in this chapter to drinking and to alcohol consumption that took place that night. So I want you to see, men and women, it was a night of revelry, the night that Belshazzar died. It was a night of eating and drinking. It was a night of feasting and drunkenness. The verse actually says that he drank before 1,000 of his lords. It was nearly as if he was showing off. He was setting the standard, setting the example that he wanted others to follow. The idea was, who could drink the most? And I'm sure that often happens on nights of revelry as such as this. The wine was flowing. The drunkenness was abounding. And it was in the midst of all of that that God took Belshazzar from this scene of time. It was in the midst of that drunken revelry, men and women, that God cut him off and ended his life. You think of Luke chapter 12. You remember the farmer? There was much goods laid up for many years. He just made a fortune. He was set up for life. I reckon he was a young man looking out on life. He was a young man in his prime. I have much goods laid up for many years. He thought he'd still a long time to live. Eat, drink. There's the drink again. He's a man that gave himself to drink, to alcohol. Often visited the public house. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said, thou fool, this night. Isn't there such similarities between the death of that farmer and the death of Belshazzar? Belshazzar, he died in exactly the same way. I heard of a man that died in a public house, died suddenly. You can imagine the solemn atmosphere that must have brought in their midst. And his friends all said that he died the way he would have wanted. He died with a pint in one hand and a dart in the other. Not a fearful thing to think that he would have been happy about dying in those circumstances and dying in that way. The reality, men and women, is God took him away in the midst of his revelry. You think of Alexander the Great. Alexander was the leader, the first king of the great Greek Empire, mentioned in the book of Daniel as well. Alexander the Great died in Babylon too, this very city. Died in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. And he died as a result of a few days of heavy drinking. There's some conflicting reports of the circumstances in which he did die. But he had just downed a very large bowl of unmixed wine amidst all of the other alcohol that he consumed. Took seriously ill, broke out in a fever, was in excruciating pain for some time, and then passed from this scene of time. Died in a night of revelry. And let me ask you, men and women, what if the same were to happen to you? What if God were to cut you off in your drinking, your drunkenness, your revelry? You think of last night. What was it like for you? Was it a night similar to this night in Babylon those many years ago, a night of drinking? Like the prodigal son, a night of riotous living? A night that you spent in the pubs and the clubs of this city or of this community, this province of ours? Maybe even as you sit in the meeting tonight, you're not fully recovered from all of the activities. The hangover, the tiredness from such a night of sin. And what if tonight? Will it be the same? Will you go from this place, go from the place of the holy, go from the house of God to some den of sin, to some den of iniquity, to drink the night away again? If that is the case, men and women, I want you to heed the warning of this portion of God's word. Because just as it was for Belshazzar, maybe it will be for you. In the midst of such a night of wild living, God could step into your circumstances and your life could end so suddenly. That's why you need to be saved. That's why you need to be right with God and know His mercy and His salvation. On that night, it was a night of revelry. I want you to see as well, the night that Belshazzar died was a night of the military. You look at verse 30. It says, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Notice there and mark the final word of the verse of the text. Ask yourself, why was that word used? The verse doesn't say, on that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans. It doesn't say that he died. It doesn't say that he passed away. And all of that happened, men and women. The word that is used is that he was slain. It's a very specific word, very definite. And the reason why that word is used is this. It's telling you how Belshazzar died. He died at the hands of the military. He died at the hands of his enemies. The army of Persia was camped outside the city walls of Babylon. You know, the city walls of Babylon were a wonder in themselves. Over 40 miles in length, at some of the conservative reports. Maybe 85 feet wide. Something between 200 and 300 feet high. Three chariots could comfortably race on the top of those walls. The city of Babylon was seen to be something that was impregnable as far as military attack was concerned. And the army of Persia was camped outside, laying siege to Babylon as they had done for some 2 years. But that night, that very night, by a stroke of military genius, they entered into the city of Babylon. Do you know how they did it? Let me tell you. The city of Babylon was built over the great river Euphrates, flowed onto the walls and through the midst of the city. The city was divided between the Euphrates and one side and the other. And what the Persians did was they went a little back upstream and they dammed the Euphrates River and they stopped the water flowing down. And when the flow of the water stopped, the army went down into the riverbed, under the walls of Babylon and up into the city. By a stroke of military genius, they entered the city of Babylon and they entered Belshazzar's banquet hall. Dewitt Talmage, the famous American preacher, said, 1,000 gleaming daggers struck through 1,000 quivering hearts. Remember, there was 1,000 of his lords. And one of those hearts was the heart of Belshazzar. It was a night of the military. He was slain at the hands of his enemies. And you don't need me to remind you tonight how many in this land, how many in this province have died at the hands of the enemy. Died as a result of violence and terror. I'm sure everyone in this meeting tonight could think of someone that died in such a way. Let me ask you, men and women, what if tonight that were to happen to you? There's still violence, there's still crime taking place in this province of ours. In some ways, crime is on the increase. Gun crime, knife crime, and so on. Well, what if tonight you innocently were caught up in an act of terror, an act of violence, an act of the military, an act of some paramilitary activity or some crime? Do you remember what the Bible said about Ahab, how he died on the battlefield? It was as a result of a bow at a venture. The arrow that was fired that day, It wasn't aimed at Ahab. In fact, it wasn't aimed at anyone. He just put the bow or the arrow into the bow and let it go out into the battlefield. And a little gap, a little chink in Ahab's armor, and in the arrow went and took him from this scene of time. And remember, men and women, you could die as a result of a bomb or a bullet at a venture. Not necessarily aimed or intended at you. A bow at a venture, just as it was for Ahab. Isn't that a sobering thought? Maybe an attack or a bullet that was aimed or intended for someone else, and you could get caught up in the midst of that. Some of you have served in the armed forces. Many a dangerous night you've been through. Many a gun battle you witnessed. Many a bomb you survived. Maybe you could tell us stories tonight that would in some ways scare the life out of many in this meeting. You've been through many things. Remember, God preserved your life. Remember that tonight, especially if you're still out of Christ. You could have been in hell now, in a lost eternity, only for God's mercy in your life. Mr. Bunyan used to love to use the expression, mercy preserved him alive. Three times in his life before he was converted, he could have been dead. He fell into the River Ouse in Bedford when it was overflowing its banks and swept away in the current, and he was rescued from it. He was bitten by a snake on another occasion. And the third was he was in Cromwell's army, and he changed shifts with another soldier. And that day that he changed the shift and the soldier was on duty, he was shot dead, lost his life. Mercy preserved him alive. Is not true of you? It's only by God's mercy you're still alive and still in the land of the living. And still, you're not saved. Despite all of God's patience and long suffering toward you, still you're not right with God. Many of you will know the name of Hugh James Adams, one of the founding elders of the Free Presbyterian Church from the Lasara congregation in Crossgar. Last year they remembered the 100th anniversary of the First World War. Hugh James Adams fought in the Battle of the Somme in the First World War. He liked to tell the story. They were coming back from the front after some fierce and ferocious fighting. And they were setting down camp for the night. And the men that he was with, the band of soldiers, they were setting up camp in a certain area, but he decided he wouldn't sleep with the other men that night. He went over the hill and he found a little corner and he set up his own camp, set up a little place just to settle down for the night. When he woke in the morning and got himself freshened up and got things together, he went back over the hill to be reunited with his colleagues, his comrades, only to find that every one of them was dead. The Germans had come unexpectedly in the night and just wiped them out. It was God's mercy that saved his life that night. And he was still without Christ. He looked back and with deep thankfulness for God's goodness to him at that time. And you can say, men and women, he has preserved you too. And he's done that to give you time. Remember that. That's the only reason why God has preserved your life. It's to give you time. It's to give you a further opportunity of salvation. And I say to you tonight, don't waste it. Don't despise the opportunity and the many opportunities that God has given to you. On that night, it was a night of revelry. It was a night of the military. There's another thing, one other thing I'll mention. And that is, it was a night of profanity. You look at the beginning of the chapter again, verses 3 and 4. It tells us, then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood and of stone. Think of the beginning of verse 3 especially. They brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. You see, Belshazzar, he wasn't content just to be an idolater. Belshazzar went further, and he blasphemed the name of Jehovah. This night especially, the night of his death, he blasphemed the name of the God of heaven. He did that night in an attempt just to go that bit further, just in his showing off before the crowd. He did even what Nebuchadnezzar didn't do and wouldn't do. Belshazzar took the vessels, those sacred and holy vessels that had come from the temple in Jerusalem, those vessels that were used in the worship of God, and in his revelry, in his party that night, he defiled them. He desecrated them. He used them in their drunkenness. You think of how solemn that is, men and women. So on that night of blasphemy, in the midst of their wicked desecration of the things of God, that's when God stepped in and God ended his life. And listen, men and women, let me say to you plainly tonight that the same thing could happen to you. Let me ask you to ponder the question for a moment. Have you ever desecrated the things of God? You might be shocked at the very thought of that, the very suggestion of it. Ever desecrated the things of God? Ever desecrated God's day? How have you spent the Sabbath day? How have you spent recent Sabbath days? How will you spend the evening, the remainder of the Lord's day? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Ever desecrated the Sabbath? The sad thing is, in this land, that is something that is increasing even more and more. What about the Lord's name? Ever desecrated the name of God, the name of the Lord? Do you remember the commandment, the words of the third commandment, how solemn they are? The Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So much foul language, so much swearing that takes place all around us. Sometimes people get to that place, they're so hardened in their habits and in their lifestyle, they don't even realize that they're using such profanities. Ever desecrated the Lord's name? The psalmist says he was the song of the drunkard. That's especially true of what happened at the cross. Imagine in their drunken revelry, not even knowing the things they were saying, that they blasphemed the name of God. And I have not a doubt that that psalm sums up what happened in Babylon that night. He was the song of the drunkard. They desecrated the name of God. What of his word, men and women? Ever desecrated the word of God? Do you remember Jehoiakim, the wicked king of Judah? They read the word of God in his presence in the royal palace, and they took out his penknife, and they cut the pieces, the pages of scripture, and not content with that, he lifted the scraps that were left and he threw them into the fire to be burnt. He desecrated the word of God. You ever done that? Maybe not in such a fearful a manner, but maybe you won't obey the word of God. You won't obey the gospel message and repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You treat the word of God lightly, irreverently, carelessly. We live in a day, men and women, of great desecration of the things of God. Let me ask you tonight about the blood of Christ. Ever desecrated the precious blood of the Savior? Remember, you do so every time you go from a gospel meeting unsaved. You trample underfoot. Is there any greater desecration that could be done? You trample underfoot the precious blood of Christ. What of his house? Ever desecrated the house of God? Maybe you can look back to younger days when you did terrible things, trying to show off to your friends. Broke into a church building, vandalized it, stole from it, desecrated the house of God. I say to you, men and women, as you think of those solemn things, that in a night of desecration, a night of desecration of sacred things, maybe this very night, God could say to you, thus far and no further, and take you away, take you from this scene of time. In the 19th century in Scotland, there were two famous brothers that both became Presbyterian ministers, the Haldane brothers, Robert and James. James Haldane, before he was converted, was a sea captain. He was an awful blasphemer, a terrible tongue. On one occasion, they were in a fierce sea battle. They needed more sailors to come up onto deck to replace those who had been killed and wounded on the deck. Those that came up onto the deck, they were shocked by the carnage that confronted them. Some of them stepped back in shock. They were reticent about going out onto the deck and continuing the fight. So what James Haldane was, he used the strongest and foulest of language in order to command those men to take up their arms and to fight. And in the course of what he said, the fearful statement that he made to them that day, he wished every one of them in hell. There was a Christian soldier that was amongst those men. And he stepped up to the captain and he said, "Sir, if God had answered your prayer just now, where would we have been? And where would you have been? Waste them all in hell." And I say to you tonight, men and women, if God were to take you away in a night of blasphemy, a night of profanity, the great question you need to ponder at this very moment is, where would you be? Where would your soul be? The book of Deuteronomy says, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." People think it's a foolish thing to think about death. The Bible teaches the opposite. Oh, that they were wise. One of the wisest things you can do in this life is to think about death and to prepare for it. That they would consider their latter end. And I want you to do that, men and women, before you go from this gospel service tonight. The night that Belshazzar died, a night to be remembered, even in the history of Babylon, a night of revelry, a night of the military, a night of profanity. And it was in the midst of all of that that God ended the life of the wicked king Belshazzar and took him from this world to the next, swept his soul out into a lost eternity. Let me tell you this as a finish. In the Isle of Lewis revival, when the Lord's servant Duncan Campbell was ministering there, there was a group of young fellows came to the meeting one night. I'm sure you've heard of something like this happening before. Whenever there's a move of God and blessing on the meetings, the devil will stir up people and send them along to cause a disruption or distraction in the meeting. And that's what this group of lads came to do. They're what we would maybe term Hell's Angels, the motorbike fellas and all their leathers and so on. They come into the meeting and they started the gospel meeting with the same hymn we started the service with tonight. "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." Can I ask you to consider that, will you? Do you know what those young fellas did when they were singing the hymn? They changed the words a little. They thought it was great crack. "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll not be there." And they sang it out at the top of their voice, as loud as they could, for everybody in the meeting to hear. Wanted to cause the maximum disruption in that gospel service. "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll not be there." They didn't realize how true those words would be. When the meeting was over, and they left the service and up the road at great speed, and there was a serious accident that swept them out into eternity. What men and women, if God took you away suddenly? He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall, listen to it carefully, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. What if in a night of wild living, if in a night of profanity, God suddenly cut you off? The question is, where would you be? Where will you spend eternity? So think of that question we began the meeting with. What time of the day will you die at? If the time for your death was tonight, on that night Belshazzar died, well, what if you died this night? How would it be with your soul? Remember, you don't have to be old to die. And he wasn't. And you don't have to be sick to die. That was true of Belshazzar too. But the reality is, men and women, you do have to be ready to die. And that was a great tragedy of his life. Even though he knew how God had dealt with his family, even though how he knew what had happened to his grandfather, the chapter calls him his father. But sometimes when that happens, it's the grandfather, a further or distant relation that's been spoken about. Nebuchadnezzar was Belshazzar's grandfather, and Nabonidus was his father. It's reckoned that he was away fighting a campaign. That's why he wasn't in Babylon at that time. That's why whenever Daniel interpreted the writing on the wall, he said he would make him the third ruler, not the second ruler of the kingdom, because his father was first and he was second. And then he made Daniel the third. But the reality is, he knew how God had dealt with his grandfather. That's the great story of chapter 4. Let me remind you that Daniel chapter 4 is Nebuchadnezzar giving his testimony, his personal testimony of salvation. God saved the great king Nebuchadnezzar. We'll see him in heaven. God changed his life. God had stepped into this family. And Daniel said, you knew all of these things. You knew what God had done for your grandfather. But you haven't humbled yourself before the Lord. The great tragedy of his life was he wasn't ready for eternity. And I pray, men and women, God will speak to you tonight. Be ye also ready. Set your house in order. Prepare to meet thy God. That's the greatest issue of life, to know that you are ready, you are prepared for death whenever it will come for you. On that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. May God use his word and bless it.